Okay, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy. We're going to combine a couple of different truths in the Bible. We're going to combine the truths of the New Testament church with the distinctives of a New Testament church that would make it a Baptist church. And so we're going to be looking at some important principles here in the next few weeks on Wednesday nights about the church and the principles of a Baptist church, and I trust that they will be a help to us. We ought to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Maybe if you turn this up a little bit more, I won't have to talk as loud, okay? That'll help. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In this passage of Scripture, which is the key verse for the book of 1 Timothy, Paul is giving Timothy instructions about setting things in order in the church there at Ephesus. And it's interesting, as you look at this verse, it says that that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And this is talking about that New Testament church. And, of course, each New Testament church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's also, it says, it's the house of God. God lives in the assembly. It's the house of God. And we recognize that our body is the house of God. But the New Testament church is, in its own unique way, a house of God. It doesn't compare to other ministries in that sense, because it is the church, and this is talking about the New Testament church, the local New Testament church, is the house of God. And now I think that this is unique in that this is spoken to Timothy, who was pastoring, you might say interim pastor, at the church at Ephesus. And when Paul has written to the church at Ephesus, he uses these grandiose phrases referring to the New Testament local church. And he says the New Testament local church is a house of God. And it's the pillar and ground of the truth. It's very interesting if you turn to Acts chapter 20. This as well is the context of a local New Testament church. Acts chapter 20. And verse 17, we know that Paul is speaking to the elders from the church at Ephesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and they come to meet him at Miletus, the elders of the church. And he is giving them some great exhortations. But in verse 28, he says to the elders of the church at Ephesus, Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, he says to feed the church of God. Okay, what's it talking about? A New Testament local church. The church of God. And I'm pointing this out because the interdenominational method of interpreting the Bible would use that phrase, the church of God, in the sense of an invisible church. Whereas these grandiose phrases are referring to a New Testament local church. And he says of that New Testament local church, it says that Christ has purchased with his own blood. And I think it's really important for us to get in our mind that the emphasis of the New Testament and these great verses is talking about the New Testament local church. And we need to get out of our mind this interdenominational thinking of an invisible church and all of the stuff that goes with that. In fact, if you go to the book of Ephesians, he uses these grandiose phrases, the New Testament church in the same exact way. And he's talking about the New Testament local church at Ephesus. And we see that in two other places very clearly, 1 Timothy, as well as Acts. Exact same kind of language is used in context, cannot be interpreted any other way, is referring to a New Testament local church. Now, you know, part of the problem is today people don't think that the New Testament local church is very important. It's full of sinners. It's far from what it ought to be in these days. And so that's used as an excuse to wrongly interpret the Bible or to just kind of eliminate or ignore what the Bible is teaching about the New Testament local church. Now, I use that phrase, New Testament local church, because there's a lot of local churches that aren't very close to the New Testament. And their doctrine isn't right. And so they really fall short of the whole idea of really what the church is supposed to be. So I like to use the phrase, the New Testament local church. Because there's a lot of local churches that I wouldn't go to. Because their practice isn't right. Their doctrine isn't right. And they're going in the wrong direction. And there's something that has precedence, and it's the issue of what is a New Testament church. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And just reading part of the context, verse 22. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, it's using the principle of that your body has different members and that the New Testament local church is a body. It is a spiritual body. It's physical, but it's more than physical. It's a spiritual body. And he's using this terminology Of course, the idea of the church as a body is verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Ye are the body of Christ. Now it's written to the church at Corinth, and those people in that church, saved, baptized members of that church, is a body of Christ. Okay? And he uses this terminology as figuratively of trying to explain how a church works. And it says, verse 24, for our comely parts have no need. Comely means becoming or beautiful. Okay? You know, Scott Smith could live without his good looks. But he can't live without his liver. And you know, the liver isn't very comely. You know, I don't know why, but every time I butcher chickens, nobody wants to come help me. And I don't know what the problem is, you know. You know, the chickens have lungs and they have a heart and they have liver and they have a spleen and, you know, they have intestines and, I mean, they have the whole thing, you know. And we have some of those things too. And you know what? We couldn't live without them. Now he uses that phraseology of to describe a church. It says we can live without our comely parts. You can have you can live fine without your hands. You can live without your nose. You can live without your ears. Be disfigured and be kind of ugly in your face, and you can live. But you can't damage your spleen and rupture your spleen and live. It says here, the comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered or put together exactly properly the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Okay, well, he's talking about how a church functions. Okay, you may not think that you're very important, but if you're not right with God, you are very important. You know, I give you an example. Cut off your little toe. Or stub your little toe. And see if it doesn't affect your whole being. It is amazing how just one little thing affects your whole being. I'm learning how long it takes to replace a toenail. The day that Vacation Bible School started, someone left the chicken coop door open, and it wasn't supposed to be left open. And so two of us went out there to try to get the chickens back in, and my job was to guard the door so the ones that were in there didn't come out. Well, Peaches and whoever else was chasing them around to get them back in. So, you know, I'm standing there trying to guard the door so the chickens don't come out, and if they always want to come out, and so they'd stick their head that way, and I'd just kind of, you know, flick them with my leg a little bit, and they'd go back. But one of them was coming out real fast, and I saw him coming. And so I flicked my leg real hard. Only trouble is I didn't flick the air. I flicked it right into the concrete. And oh, did that hurt. And so That's about almost 5 months ago, right? Well, I got about this much new toenail at the bottom. The rest of it's still black and blue. I'm going to find out how long it takes to replace that toenail. But you know, for quite a while, that was dominating my life, that little toe. Actually, it's a big toe, but that's what the Bible's saying. And that's how a church functions. The person, they say, well, I'm not important. I can just kind of live the way I want, do what I want, be like I want. I don't have to fit into the program. What happens? The whole church suffers. Why? Because the church is a spiritual, living organism. That's what the Bible says. Church is a spiritual, living organism. It functions. It's alive. It's real. Now, mega churches really aren't churches, because they don't function like this. They aren't real churches, because people come there so they can not show up when they don't want to show up, so they can live the way they want to live. They aren't real churches. They don't function like a real church because they aren't a real church. They don't match the definition of a real church. They got the name out there, but it isn't a church. They don't function like a church. But the Bible tells us how a New Testament church functions. And so a New Testament church obviously is made up of people. And the phrase there, member, is a good term. That's where we get the word church membership. You know, I remember a fella graduated from Bible college, a good Bible college, and he came back and he was talking. He says, you know, I'm not sure that the Bible teaches church membership. What? First grade in Bible instruction. Church membership. Where does church membership come from? Right here. A body and members. It says, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So now a member isn't an accident. Okay? Now that's why we have people give their testimony in front of the church to join the church. Because the church only the church has to guard itself. Do you want a dead member? A dead member of your body? Or do you want a real member? You know, the church's job is to guard its body. It only can add to its body by its own vote. But he must make sure that person they're joining in is really what the Bible says. Okay? Now, what is the idea of the Catholic Church? Catholic Church, well, that isn't a church. Now, it's a church in American sense, but it's not a church in a New Testament sense. It isn't a living spiritual organism. It's a religious institution, but it isn't a New Testament church. A New Testament church is a living spiritual organism. And in order to be a part of that, you have to be saved. Acts 2:48. The Lord had added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay? Now, sometimes we don't think like this, okay? But sometimes we have to take time and we have to think biblically. Okay? And I hope it doesn't offend you, but a Catholic church isn't a church. They aren't a church. Now, they're a religious organization, and in American terms, they're a church. But according to the Bible, they are not a church. They are not a church. Okay? But they have the name church, but it isn't a church at all. Now, so we have to stop at verse 27. We read it, but we have to say, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So this church at Corinth is what? A body of Christ. So what does it say? Every New Testament church functions as a body of Christ. It is a living, spiritual organism. Now, if you are functioning in this church, you understand it in a different way. You may just know it by experience, but you know that that when people aren't doing right, it hurts the spiritual atmosphere of the church. You know that when people are making decisions for God and are going forward and it's obvious, you know that the church is spiritually benefiting. And it's almost many times it's a Sunday to Sunday thing. It's a month to month thing. But you know, what happens on Sunday many times is really a result of what is happening in the lives of the people Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Why? Because the church is a living, spiritual organism. And it's reflected by that. And that's a very important principle for us to comprehend about the New Testament local church. It is a living, spiritual organism. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're running out of time. I like this important verse, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I realize the context there, in a greater sense, is the household of God. but it's talking about, in reality, it's talking about the foundation of the New Testament church. What is the foundation? The apostles and prophets, what is that? The Bible. The doctrine is a very important foundational principle of a church. It's doctrine. Now, I remember 35 years ago when I was going into the ministry, The trend was this. Make your doctrinal statement as brief as possible. Make your doctrinal statement as brief as possible. Now, actually, that's very dangerous. And actually, I can look back historically and say that the people who promoted that kind of thinking are and it was mainly the BBF crowd, And that crowd has shifted for a long time, shifted way to the left so fast and so quickly. And the reason was because their lack of emphasis on doctrine, their lack of emphasis on teaching and truths of the Word of God. Now, I think a little bit earlier, remember I mentioned that one of the great characteristics of a New Testament church is that a New Testament church it has an emphasis on Bible doctrine. And that, doctrine is important. And doctrine takes precedence over convenience. Doctrine takes precedence over convenience. What do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is if I had to, I'd drive 2 hours to church if I had to go to a church that taught what was right. Now, I think there's a solution to that. If you have to drive 2 hours to church, maybe you ought to start a church. But I don't think that there is a New Testament emphasis here that is very important. The foundation of the church is doctrine. And what you tolerate doctrinally will have a huge effect upon your family and your children and your future. It'll have a huge effect. And it's talking about long-term effect, long-term results, talking about long-term direction. And that's a very important thing. Okay, well, we just kind of got in some introductory remarks here about New Testament local church, and trust that we will be, this will be a blessing in the days ahead. Okay, let's pray. Father, I pray that you will, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths of your word. And we pray that that the truths of your word would be the things that are dominant in our thinking and in our life and in our practice. And may even the truths that we have heard tonight, may you use them for your glory as we seek to build thinking that is from the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.